So, this deep dive, we're tackling a really heavy topic this time, the
Yeah,
Sonya Massie case.
right.
And I have to say, it's the kind of story that just sits with you. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those things that makes you question everything, faith, suffering. I mean, where do you even begin to make sense of something like that?
Exactly. And that's what we're here to do, to really dig into this reflection on the case and see if we can unpack some of those tough questions.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, whether they're believers or not, struggle with this idea of how faith and tragedy can coexist.
Right. Like if you
When,
truly believe, if
yeah.
you call in the name of Jesus, should that be enough to protect you?
Right. And when it's not, how do you reconcile that with your belief system?
It can really shake you to your core.
It can. And I think the author of this piece is really trying to get at that tension, that struggle to understand.
So just to lay it all out for our listeners, we're diving into this reflection on the Sonya Massie case, which was obviously a horrific tragedy.
Right.
And we're going to be looking at it through the lens of faith and the author's perspective on spiritual warfare.
Which is a pretty intense lens, I have to say.
It is. And I'm curious to hear your take on it. So the author starts by saying that the enemy, Satan, uses events like this to sow doubt and weaken faith.
They're basically saying that nothing happens in a vacuum, that there's a spiritual dimension to everything.
Okay, so even in something as awful as this murder, they're seeing the fingerprints of the enemy.
Yes. And they're suggesting that we often miss this spiritual dimension. You know, we tend to write things off as just bad luck or coincidence.
Right, like wrong place, wrong time kind of thing.
Exactly. But the author is saying, no, there are forces at work here that we can't see.
That's a pretty intense way to view the world.
It is,
Yeah.
but it also makes you think, doesn't it?
I mean, if they're right, am I missing the spiritual significance of things happening in my own life?
It's definitely something to consider.
Okay, so what about Sonya Massie's words right before the attack? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. How does the author fit that into this idea of a spiritual battle?
That's where it gets really interesting. The author believes her words held real power. In fact, they believe her rebuke is what provoked the attack.
Hold on. So they're saying her faith is what got her killed.
It might seem that way at first glance, but what the author is suggesting is that we're only seeing a tiny piece of a much bigger picture.
So it's not that her faith failed her, but more like it exposed a conflict that was already there.
Exactly. It's like her words ripped a hole in the fabric of reality, revealing the spiritual battle that's raging all around us.
A battle that most of us are completely oblivious to.
Right. We're so focused on the physical world, on the everyday struggles, that we miss the deeper spiritual forces at play.
That's a lot to take in.
It is, but it also makes you wonder, can we even hold these seemingly contradictory ideas together?
You mean like the power of faith and the reality of suffering? I know the author brings in that passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10.
Oh, yes. The tent analogy.
Right, that whole analogy of our bodies being like tents. What's their point with that?
We're emphasizing that our true selves, our spirits, are eternal. They're just temporarily housed in these physical bodies.
So even though Sonya Massie's earthly life ended tragically, her eternal life didn't.
Exactly. Death isn't the end of the story, just a transition to a different realm.
That's a powerful thought. And it kind of ties into what the author said about the enemy using distractions as a weapon.
Oh, absolutely.
They mention how things like jobs, bills, relationships, all that stuff can pull us away from a deeper connection with God.
It's like we're constantly bombarded with these little things that seem so important at the
And
time.
we get so caught up in them that we lose sight of the bigger picture.
Exactly. We forget about our spiritual purpose, our connection to something greater than ourselves.
I had that one line that really hit home for me. The devil will distract you all the way to your deathbed.
Wow, yeah. That's a powerful statement. It makes you think, are we letting ourselves be distracted from what truly matters?
The wake-up call, for sure. Okay, so the author seems to be laying out this pretty clear-cut worldview. There's good, there's evil, and there's a constant battle between the two. But is there any room for, I don't know, just plain bad luck or human error?
That's a good question. And I think the author would say that even those things can be manipulated by the enemy.
So even if something seems like a coincidence or an accident, there's a spiritual dimension we might be missing.
It's possible. They're not saying we should be paranoid, but just aware.
Aware that there might be more to the story than meets the eye.
Exactly. And that we should always be seeking God's guidance and protection.
Okay, so let's say I'm driving to work and I get a flat tire. Am I supposed to think that's a spiritual attack?
Not necessarily it, but it could be a sign that you need to slow down, reassess your priorities, maybe spend some time in prayer.
So instead of just getting frustrated about the flat tire, I should be asking myself if there's something deeper going on.
It's about being open to the possibility that God might be trying to communicate with you, even through those everyday annoyances.
That's definitely a different way of looking at things.
It is. And it can be challenging, for sure.
It can. But it's also kind of empowering, isn't it?
It is, because it means that even the most mundane events can have spiritual significance.
And that we have the power to choose how we respond to them.
Exactly. We can choose to see them as obstacles or opportunities for growth.
This is really making me think about things in a whole new way.
That's what we're here for.
The author definitely uses some strong language throughout this piece, like when they talk about the enemy wanting to steal, kill, and destroy us.
Yeah, it can be pretty intense.
It can. And I think that's intentional. They're trying to convey the seriousness of this spiritual battle.
Right. They're saying this isn't just some abstract theological concept. It has real life consequences.
And that we need to be prepared to fight back.
Absolutely.
So they're not just saying be aware. They're saying take a stand, choose a side.
Right. And they're pretty clear about which side they think we should choose.
Which is God's side, obviously.
Yeah.
But what does that actually look like? What does it mean to fight back against these unseen forces?
Well, I think that's something we'll need to explore further in our next deep dive.
Okay, so we've laid out the battlefield, so to speak. We've talked about the enemy's tactics and the importance of being aware of the spiritual dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need to figure out how to actually engage in this battle.
Exactly. What are the weapons? What are the strategies? How do we win?
Those are the big questions, and I'm looking forward to tackling them with you in part two of this deep dive.
Me too. It's like the Sonia Massey case keeps coming back, like a touchstone, you know?
Yeah, almost like a warning sign.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, hey, wake up. This is real. This stuff is happening all around you.
Exactly. And the author is really challenging us to not just get caught up in the outrage of it all.
Right.
But to see it through this spiritual lens.
Mm-hmm. To see the bigger picture.
Okay, so we're supposed to see things spiritually. But how?
That's the tough part, right?
It is. It's easy to say, look beyond the physical world.
Yeah.
But how do you actually do that?
Well, they talk about studying the Bible.
Okay.
Really immersing yourself in it.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer, of course. Ooh. Not just like rattling off a list of requests, but really connecting with God.
Like a conversation.
Exactly, like a heart to heart.
And they also talk about surrounding yourself with other believers.
Yes, community is so important.
It's like having a support system, right?
Exactly, people who get it, who understand what you're going through.
Because let's be honest, if you try to explain this stuff to someone who's not on the same page, they're gonna think you're nuts.
Totally.
So you need that community to ground you.
To keep you anchored.
Yeah, and to remind you that you're not alone in this.
Exactly.
Because it can feel pretty lonely sometimes, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Especially when you're trying to make sense of something like the Sonia Massey case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how do you reconcile that with a loving God? Right. And I think that's where the author's perspective on distraction comes in.
Oh, yeah.
They're saying that the enemy uses all these everyday worries to keep us from focusing on what really matters.
Like jobs, bills, relationships.
All that stuff.
It's like a constant barrage of noise, right?
Yeah. And we get so caught up in it that we forget about our spiritual purpose.
We lose sight of the bigger picture.
And the author is saying that's exactly what the enemy wants.
He wants us to be distracted, to be consumed by fear and anxiety.
So we're less effective in the spiritual battle.
Exactly.
So how do we fight back against those distractions?
Well, the author talks about practicing mindfulness.
Okay.
Becoming more aware of where your attention is going.
So like noticing when you're getting sucked into that vortex of worry.
Yes.
And making a conscious effort to pull yourself back.
Right. To refocus on what's truly important.
And they also talk about the importance of prayer.
Absolutely. Prayer is essential.
Like our direct line to God, right?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. It's how we communicate with him, how we ask for guidance and strength.
And it's also how we surrender to his will.
Yes.
Surrender is so important.
Because it's not about us trying to control everything.
Right. It's about trusting that God has a plan.
And that his plan is better than anything we could come up with on our own.
Exactly.
So prayer, mindfulness, community, those are some of the tools we can use to navigate this spiritual battle.
Yes.
But the author also talks about something else that I found really intriguing.
What's that?
They talk about the power of making a choice.
Oh, yes. That's huge.
You're saying that we have the power to choose God.
Right, to choose faith over fear, to choose love over hate.
And they're very clear that this choice has to be made consciously.
It can't be passive.
Right, you can't just sit on the sidelines and expect things to happen.
I have to actively choose.
And the author is saying that this choice has real-world consequences.
It affects not just our own lives, but the lives of those around us.
And ultimately, the fate of the world. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
It is. But it's also incredibly empowering, isn't it?
It is. Because it means that we have a role to play in this cosmic drama.
We're not just bystanders. We're active participants.
And our choices matter.
They really do.
So what does that mean for us? What does it look like to actually make that choice and step into our spiritual power?
Well, I think that's where the rubber meets the road.
Right. It's where the theory becomes practice.
Exactly. And that's something we'll need to explore in the final part of our deep dive. It's amazing, right? How the author ties all of this back to Sonia Massey.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty bold claim to say that her death somehow contributed to something bigger.
Right. Like, how can something so awful be part of some grand plan for good?
Exactly. But that's what they're saying, that even in her death, she planted a seed.
A seed of faith.
Right. And that seed continues to inspire others.
To stand up for what's right, to choose faith over fear.
Even when it's hard. Even when it's scary. Exactly. Because let's be real, this spiritual battle is not for the faint of heart.
It's not. It takes courage. It takes commitment.
And sometimes it takes sacrifice.
Like Sonia Massey's sacrifice.
Right. And the author is saying that her sacrifice wasn't in vain.
That it actually had a ripple effect. That it inspired others to fight back against the darkness.
To shine their light even brighter.
So it's like every time we make a choice for good.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we choose love over hate or forgiveness over bitterness.
We're adding to that ripple effect.
We're making the world a little bit brighter.
A little bit more like God intended it to be.
This has been such a powerful conversation, and I think it's really challenged me to think about my own role in this spiritual battle.
Me too. It's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day and forget about the bigger picture.
Right. But the author's message is clear. We all have a part to play.
We're all called to be warriors of light.
And to support each other along the way.
Because we're not in this alone.
Exactly. We have God, we have each other, and we have the power to make a difference.
And that's a pretty amazing thing.
It is. So, to our listeners out there, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it's given you some food for thought, some inspiration to step into your own spiritual power.
And to remember that even in the darkest of times, there is always hope.
There is. And that hope can be found in the power of faith, the strength of community, and the love of God.